We're all full of lies. Mama, we're meant for the flies. And right now they're building a coffin your size. Mama, we're all full of lies. Well, mother was the warden to my legs and to my tongue. You should have raised a baby girl. I should have been a better son. If you could count on the infection, naked, amputated ones, you should have been. I could have been a better son. And when we can real play,
Chapter 25. I'd been a long time in Morph. A quick check on Visser 3, and I would abandon the Osprey. Visser 3 himself was still with his group of human controllers. They were slowing down, worn out by sliding in their street shoes. But the Visser was no longer concerned with shoes. He had reverted to his Andalite host body. He was a nimble, dangerous deer. No one was sweating more than Chapman. I almost felt sorry for him. But not too sorry. If all went well, my school would be needing a new assistant principal next week. I circled behind them, staying out of sight as well as I could. I drifted close enough to hear scattered bits of conversation. Some of it was very interesting.
Let's kill her now,
Chapman urged, gasping like a fish out of water.
Before they get away.
Why? Because you are weak and tired? No,
Visser 3 said.
She is heading for the Hork-Bajir fugitives. I know it. Either to unite with them, or to prove their existence to the Council of 13 and discredit me. I will have her and the Hork-Bajir fugitives.
But, Visser, in these human host bodies lacking equipment, we may be unable to keep up with you,
Chapman said, very respectfully.
Am I blind? Am I a fool? Two columns of Hork-Bajir and Taxons are even now converging. If you fall by the wayside, so be it. I will not be denied my victory.
Evidently, encouraged by Visser 3's seemingly tolerant mood, another human controller made the mistake of offering an opinion.
It's hard to believe that these Hork-Bajir hosts could form a colony right under our noses. How did we...
My Andalite tailblade whipped and stopped quivering, pressed against the man's right leg.
No, I...
the man cried.
I meant no criticism, no!
Visser, we need every man who can fire a weapon,
Chapman intervened.
Yes, you are right, Chapman,
Visser 3 said.
It would be foolish to cut off his leg. How would he walk without a leg?
The man almost had time to breathe a sigh of relief. Then Visser 3 whipped his tail again. The man's left arm fell to the ground.
You all will only hinder my progress,
Visser 3 spat.
I will proceed alone from here. The Hork-Bajir and Taxons will join us soon, and the fleet stands ready. Catch up when your frail bodies allow. I have a morph that will do very nicely for this challenge.
With his entourage watching, Visser 3 began to morph.
Squish!
His Andalite head flattened to the shape of a B-movie flying saucer. His main eyes closed and sealed. His stock eyes remained, but thickened. The eyeballs bulged and reddened. Multi-jointed legs sprouted from his sides. 1, 2, 3, 6 total, replacing his quick disappearing Andalite legs and hooves. His blue and tan Andalite fur seemed to be absorbed into him, as though it had been sucked in. What remained was a translucent skin or shell of no particular color. The legs lengthened, becoming spindly, almost like a spider's. The two front legs ended in claws. The back forelegs ended in sharp, barbed spikes. And then, before my startled gaze, the shell began to change. From a translucence that revealed vague, distorted blue, red, and orange shadows of his internal organs, it became green and brown. It became the precise green of the trees overhead, the exact brown of the trail.
A chameleon,
I whispered. The Visser's bizarre, spindly land crab was nearly invisible, even to my eyes. The colors and patterns of its shell shifted as rapidly as it walked. Okay, Marco, you knew he'd morph something dangerous. That still fits the plan. Of course, I hadn't known he'd be nearly invisible. Chapter 26. I landed and demorphed well off the trail. Strange to be here, so high up. It was quiet. A few birds sang. The breeze rustled the sparse tall grass. The trees sighed. All I need is a picnic, I said, wanting to hear the sound of my own voice. Some chips. A ham sandwich. Jake and Cassie. Burned in Visser 1's SUV. Axe missing. My mother. I could run away. Leave town. Never come back. I had the powers. I could get by. I could go to Hollywood. Or France. Somewhere. French Marco. I liked it. Were the Yerkes in France? I didn't care. I wouldn't pay any attention to them. Oh, God, I moaned. I put my face in my hands.
Marco, you are very badly located.
My head snapped up. I looked around, confused, till I saw the Northern Harrier floating on the slight breeze. Axe? I said, not that he could hear me.
Marco, a column of Hork-Bajir and Texans is coming up the opposite side of this ridge. In approximately 2 of your minutes, they will be able to see you.
They're not my minutes, you alien nitwit. They're everyone's minutes. But I was busy morphing. Not to Osprey again. Wings were of diminishing usefulness now. But I still needed to be able to stay out in front of humans, Hork-Bajir, and whatever strange thing Visser 3 had become. Time for the goat. Axe had floated lower. He kept to the air, but he could hear me now.
I discern that the arrival of these additional forces so early in the plan may have created an imbalance that will affect our plans in a negative way,
Axe said. Gee, do you think? I yelled.
We need reinforcements.
You know some private army you can call? 'Cause if you do, now would be the time, I yelled. It was sarcastic. I didn't expect him to take me seriously. But before I could object, Axe had caught the breeze and was heading downhill, letting gravity give him speed.
What the? What are you doing? I screamed. Insane!
I'd found Axe and lost him within a minute. Okay, okay, get a grip, I told myself shakily. Get a grip. Okay, figure it out. Back to Rachel and Tobias and Visser 1. The only thing to do. Morph. Come on, Marco. Focus. I focused on the memory of the big mountain goat asleep in its safe little zoo habitat. Stupid, but I was ticked at that goat. Morphing is never logical. Never neat and clean and orderly. The changes don't necessarily start at the head and move on to the toes, though they can. And this time, they did.
Sproot!
Two sharp, dagger-like black horns sprouted from the top of my head. I felt an itchiness on my face. I raised my hand and felt a long, rather soft white beard beneath my chin. The 5 toes on each of my feet melded together to form 2 big padded toes. Toes that could spread to help the mountain goat keep its balance on snowy, rocky slopes. White fur began to grow up my legs, which were becoming the stocky, sturdy back legs of the goat. Over the soft, fluffy fur grew coarser hair, protection against wind and rain. Suddenly, I tipped forward. I fell on my hands, now also split hooves, with rough pads underneath.
Screech!
My small human shoulders heaved upward into the powerful shaggy shoulders of the almost 300-pound male mountain goat. I felt the mountain goat's mind merge within my own, but I wasn't interested in fighting it. The goat wanted to climb, and so did I. I bounded off across the sparse, rocky soil. Up, 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 straight up. The power in my legs was incredible. I wasn't climbing against the pull of gravity. Gravity was irrelevant. It didn't exist. Up through the trees, leaping easily, playfully over boulders that would have taken a human 5 minutes to clamber cautiously over. My legs were pile drivers. I was on pogo sticks, just bouncing, bouncing, springing, practically flying. I spotted and smelled the Hork-Bajir as they crested the ridge, but who cared? They'd never get me. This mountain was mine. These rocks belonged to me. up and up, pulling effortlessly away from the Hork-Bajir. I drew level with Visser 1 and my two friends. They had deployed ropes and pitons now. Visser 1 was being pushed and hauled like a sack of potatoes. They climbed the easier path. I took a much harder way. A way with no trail, with scrappy miniature trees blocking my way, with no visible footholds, with tumbling gravel and crumbling rocks. I went the way that no human climber, no expert rock climber, armed with every piece of equipment, could have climbed in under half a day. It was an escalator to me. My eyes spotted every minuscule crevice. My hooves caught every crack. I hauled 300 pounds of goat up a sheer wall so easily that I might have been Tinkerbell floating upward on magic dust. I passed Visser 1. Rachel spotted me.
Marco?
Who else?
Yeah. Good luck, okay?
No problemo, Xena, I said. Chapter 27. I waited atop the mountain, alone, king of the world. From the peak, the backside of the mountain extended almost flat toward the west. All I saw was a long slope that extended perhaps a quarter of a mile before seeming to be broken by the spine of a ridge. We had come up the east face, a nearly sheer drop. The southeast and northeast were no better, sheer cliffs. A fatal fall in three directions. A fatal fall for a human, or a human controller. Nothing that looked remotely like a hidden valley. Nothing that looked remotely like a secret Hork-Bajir colony. But then, that was to be expected. My mother's face appeared very suddenly above the rocks to the east. She was being pushed up from beneath. She clambered up, clearly exhausted. For a while, she just lay flat on her back, gasping and coughing. Rachel and Tobias rose up behind her. Then, she rolled over and with sheer willpower, made her body stand. Once again, I felt that strange pride. Even with Rachel and Tobias to help, it was an amazing accomplishment climbing this peak. A fitting end. The last exertion. The last effort. So easy for me now. I could throw my 300 pounds forward, lower my head, slam into her, send her flying, arms windmilling, helplessly as she fell and fell and fell. The Visser would die. His helpless host, my mother, as well.
Andalite?
She panted. Of course, I said. Be so careful, Marco, I warned myself. This was to be Jake's role. He was to talk to her. She can't know who you are. But what did it matter now? It was over. It would end here. It would matter because knowing at last that we had tricked her, she might call my name. She might say,
Marco, don't let them kill me, Marco!
I shuddered. I was lost. Her life would end here. So would mine, I now knew. How could I live? How could I live, knowing?
Well, Andalite or human, or whatever you are behind that morph, you'd better know one thing. My loyal forces fill the sky. Betray me, and you'll be blasted apart.
We have a deal, I said blandly. Visser 3 will soon join us. He will be alone, or nearly alone.
The Hork-Bajir colony. I don't see any colony.
Eric, I said privately. I hope you're here, dude. Then, in open thought speak, not to get all Prince of Egypt on you, but behold! The ground of the western slope shimmered. Then it disappeared. Visser 1 actually jumped back. The valley appeared just before her feet.
Hork-Bajir home,
Rachel said, still playing her part. Below us, beneath impossibly steep cliff walls, a lush valley teemed with free Hork-Bajir. I watched the sick, eager smile spread across my mother's beautiful face as Visser 1 peered into the valley below. Several young Hork-Bajir swung through the trees, playing a game of tag. Adult Hork-Bajir shipped bark from the trunks of the tall pines. I counted at least 40 or 50 Hork-Bajir going about their daily routine. Okay, we fulfilled our end of the bargain, I muttered. Now it's up to Visser 3. She smiled, right at me.
I know you, don't I?
I am an Andalite warrior. That's all you need to know.
No. Andalites don't make jokes, let alone human popular culture references. No, you're a human, and...
She searched her memory, rolling her eyes up.
Someone I knew once. Long ago, maybe. But someone I knew.
Hello, Phantomorphs, and thank you for listening to another episode of Audiomorphs, the Animorphs Auditory Experience. As always, this is your host, Daniel. We are much further along than I thought last week. This is the penultimate episode of Book 30. We have one more episode, three more chapters to go. Here's what I'll say. I'm going to try, and probably will. I have a 80%, 85%, we'll say, confidence that I can get this done. I will try to get the last episode out next week, because it's a bad time to, like, take a week off. But I am traveling this weekend, so my workflow is a little disrupted, but I'm also still very unemployed, so I have the time. I can do it. I'll figure it out. So keep an eye on the Twitter that's at Audiomorphs. If it doesn't happen this week, I will let you know well before it's posting day. But it probably will. After I finish recording these outro notes, I'm actually going to turn around and record out those last three chapters so I can edit it after I get back. And I think we'll be okay then. So that's business. I don't have any messages this week, but if you'd like to send me a message, you can do that through a variety of ways. The first one is my Gmail. That's audiomorphscast@gmail.com. Then there's the Tumblr. That's audiomorphscast.tumblr.com. And finally, there's my website, theapocalypse.com. That's the apocalypse, like apocalypse, but with a D in the middle. And sorry, that it's such a choice on my part with that name. I didn't think that went through. Anyway, also there's the aforementioned Twitter at Audiomorphs that you should check to see if next week will work out. It probably will. I mean, it probably will. But that's where I'll make any announcements whenever I have them to make. That's I think all I have for this week as we get to the dramatic conclusion of this book. Thank you all so much for listening, and I'll see you all next week, probably. My name is Daniel, and I believe one day the Andalites will come. Until then, we fight.